back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jeff Merrick, host of The Jeff Merrick Show and co-host of 32 Thoughts, the podcast, joins us this morning. How's it going, Jeff?
Ailish, Justin, hello. How are you guys today?
We're swell. We have a question for you as somebody.
Swell. Ooh, oh, yes. I like that word.
Swell.
Ooh,
swell. Okay, sorry, swell,
like
swell,
it.
Swell.
We should reintroduce that.
Like, all right. That's, okay, yes. We'll start today. Say swell every day. As somebody with such a prolific Twitter feed and following of people that need to make sure they're up to date with all the information, have you ever had a moment like John Heyman had last night where not only, I mean, spelling someone's name wrong, that happens, I can attest to that personally, but making a grave error like he did with the Aaron Judge sweepstakes?
I think the I haven't had one that spectacular.
I hope not.
or news with there have been I'll tell you what, there have been a couple that have been really, really tough sits, and there's one that comes to mind right away, and it took longer for it to come to fruition. But I remember it was like a couple of weeks where I was like, oh, geez, I've reported something here that isn't happening right now, but I've reported it as if it is happening right now. And that was when Bill Peters was fired from the Calgary Flames. Mm. So I remember Calgary was in Buffalo for a game, and I got a note from someone who was around the team who tipped me off that Peters was, and we all remember the story around it, was done with the Calgary Flames, and he wouldn't be back, like offices cleaned out, like the whole deal. And I remember I went to air with that and tweeted it. The Flames denied it because at that point it had to go through a certain legal process and a review to get there. Like, I think a lot of us sort of all knew that Bill Peters was finished with the organization, but it was going to be a while until it actually happened. I think it ended up taking like 2 weeks. So every day that went by, and I left it up there. And sure, like my name trended. Oh, you get your facts straight, Merrick. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And you just kind of have to eat it for a little bit, Ailish.
Yeah.
Eventually, it was correct. Just at the time, it had to go through a certain process to get there. So not exactly the Heyman moment that we saw yesterday, but that was that. And that's just the one that comes. I'm sure I've had, like, you know, I mean, I think I got on social media and on Twitter 2009. So like, I'm
the
sure
inaugural
I've had
day.
Some spectacular ones. I'm sure I've had some spectacular ones. So but that's the one that comes to mind. That was just a tough sit more than anything else. I had to sweat it out.
Yeah, bad tweets, bad takes. You just got to eat it. If you double down, then you're in trouble. I guess with Heyman, with the spelling mistakes, though, he had to tweet about 3 or 4 times to get the news that wasn't even right out there in the first place. Anyway.
That's okay.
Lots of storylines for Toronto and Dallas yesterday. I guess they all merge into one. One streak survives. One, maybe we got the best goaltending performance in a shutout in history, according to some numbers.
Right?
Like, what is the prevailing storyline, I guess, as storylines converge, and now that we have a result, between Toronto and Dallas?
It's funny too. There's a bunch. To me, it's Matt Murray. Like, I think it's safe to say, like, that was a command performance. And, you know, this is, I don't think Kyle Dubas is going to take a victory lap for his decisions in the summer with the net mining, but he probably could, specifically after last night. I think that's the big story coming out of this one. But to me, the even bigger story is, you know, despite all these injuries to defensemen, and we add another one now to the Maple Leafs mix in Victor Mete, this, and when I say defense, I don't necessarily just refer to the players who line up as defensemen, but the entire defensive posture of the Maple Leafs is such that, you know, they're in a position where it seems as if, and, you know, looks like we'll see now, you know, Mac Hollowell or, you know, Philip Kral, whoever's going to come up and take Mete's spot here. The entire defensive posture of the Toronto Maple Leafs is looking really solid here, right? Like, as much as we'll talk about the Marner streak, and that's fantastic, as much as we'll talk about the play of John Tavares, and he's been fantastic, and Auston Matthews heating up, and Nylander continues continuing to create chance after chance. And Nick Robertson, looking good on that second line last night. I think the prevailing story is, you know, the Maple Leafs are playing a very specific way here that allows them to play almost plug and play with their blue line, not taking anything away from players like Sandin, who was excellent last night, or Timothy Liljegren, who are playing more minutes than they're used to and handling it well. Mark Giordano, who seems to be 25 years old again. and Justin Hall, who's playing really well, despite the fact that he's, you know, auditioning for a relief pitching role with the Toronto Blue Jays. I think it's the defensive posture of the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's, you know, they needed saves from Matt Murray yesterday. Absolutely. Those 5-on-3s were spectacular, whether it's, you know, the players diving in front of pucks or Murray, you know, channeling his inner Terry Sawchuk and making big saves. I think the story for me around the Maple Leafs is not the offense or the streaks, but how well they're playing defensively against really elite, high-scoring teams. Like, here's the worst-kept secret in the NHL.
Oh, no.
They may have the best line in the league in that Rupe Hintz, Robertson, Pavelski line. And man, the Maple Leafs did a job on them last night.
You kind of went glitchy on that, but I think you're talking about the way that the Dallas Stars are, you know, constructed. And that goes to my next question here was about, I can't take credit for digging out these stats. It was on the Sportsnet broadcast, but Dallas's 2017 draft, Heiskanen, yes. Round one, Ottinger round one, and Robertson round two. How this kind of flew under the radar. I mean, we don't talk about Dallas Stars enough up here. Maybe you do because you're more global approach, but you know, we got our head in the Toronto Maple Leafs books here, but should we be thinking and praising this team and this development system a little bit higher than we possibly have? Yes. When you look at how that went,
Joe McDonnell leads the amateur scouting department, and there's a number of outstanding people that he works with and have worked with for a long time, who last season, to be blunt, I mean, there were a lot of nervous people around that organization. And it starts with Jim Neal as well. Like, there was doubt whether Jim Neal was even going to come back this season. And I think that went all through the organization. And that same scouting staff, as I mentioned, led by Joe McDonnell, who OHL, you know, people in Ontario will recognize as, hey, that's a guy who used to coach Kitchener Rangers. Mm. Yeah, well, he's the head of scouting for the Dallas Stars. And that 2017 draft is one for the ages because they, you know, in a lot of ways, Ailish and Justin, like, they set themselves up at every single position. Like, they picked off an elite level player at every position.
Yeah.
Goalie, defense, mm-hmm. forward. Like, not just good players, but like Hart Trophy, Vezina, Norris type candidates. Like, in the history, like, there have been some great Detroit Red Wing drafts. Make no mistake, you know, the Lidstrom, Federer, like, those were elite, elite drafts. I'll put this Dallas draft right up against them. Mm. That 2017 set this team up for the next 10 years to the spot where you might, you know, if you're management, you look at that draft and what that scouting department gave you, and you probably say to yourself, A, raises for everybody, and B, long-term contracts for everybody as well. Mm-hmm. The one position around the NHL that's abused most, I've always felt, considering how much they put in, it's bad coffee and, you know, Zamboni fumes and bad rinks and snowy roads and driving through, you know, snowstorms, etc., and, you know, long times away from your family, are scouts. And in a lot of ways, like, that's the lifeblood and the backbone of successful organizations. And there are some of my favorite people to talk to and some of the nicest people in the entire industry. I just don't think the scouts are taken care of enough. But when, to your point, when they do pop up and you look at a draft like 2017 for Dallas, you really do have to, you know, tap your stick and nod your cap and say, you know, let's pay these people a little bit more because they've set our multi-million dollar organization up here for a number of years.
They really, not from a scouting perspective, but they really are the opposite of the Leafs, at least in the way that they built their team. I mean, you look at the left side, they've got three top six left wingers. The Maple Leafs maybe don't have one. They've got a lot. The Leafs obviously have a lot of their contracts, you know, a lot of the money allocated to four players. It seems like they've spread the wealth a little bit, or at least signed some more economical deals. Dallas is in a position where they can't even play Robertson 23 minutes a night because they got too many quality forwards. Like, they can't put themselves into that position. They've done a really good job of making it not only a talented roster, but a deep one as well.
Dallas has done a great job here. The one thing about Dallas is, and we should never lose sight of this, as much as we talk about Florida and the state tax situation, it's the same for Texas, right? And they can sell, you know, the take less here because the tax situation is favorable. You know, that's how you get, I mean, geez, even Jason Robertson's deal looks like a bargain now.
Oh, it's an amazing deal.
You know, five minutes after it was signed, we all went, and maybe by the end of it, it'll look good. It looks good. It looks great right now, but they can sell that. One of the interesting things about Dallas to me, and I think this is the envy of a lot of teams that are rebuilding right now in the NHL, they've done a rebuild on the fly. Like, teams will always talk about, oh, we're not gonna rebuild, we're gonna reload. Like, do you not get that feeling that they've transitioned from the Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, who both, by the way, are having great seasons and are both healthy, specifically Tyler Seguin, who's, you know, had, you know, double hip surgery not that long ago. But they've transitioned from, you know, all about Jamie Benn and John Klingberg and Tyler Seguin and Ben Bishop. You know, they've transitioned now into this Jason Robertson, Rupe Hintz, Wyatt Johnson, Ty Dellandrea, Miro Heiskanen, Jake Oettinger. They've done it right in front of our eyes here. And there weren't very many awkward moments, were there? Like, they're set up now for the next 10 years. Like, this is going to be a really good team for a long time in the NHL. And we've just come off of a team that, you know, a couple of years ago in the bubble went to the Stanley Cup final against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, I know I'm talking about Dallas like they invented oxygen. I get that. But, like, this should be a huge story in the NHL.
I think they've learned from their mistakes, too, because I think they paid Sagan and Ben maybe a little bit more than they wanted to, maybe longer than they wanted to. And I think they really tightened it up around everybody else. And it's just given them a little bit of room, financial flexibility, because they've been hard on the players that have risen up through this prospect system to make sure that they can at least surround them with talent. Let's move on to a couple notable coaching returns this week. We had Bruce Cassidy in Boston, but last night we had Paul Maurice returning to Winnipeg. I'm more fascinated with the Maurice thing because I feel like we never got clarity on why he left in the first place. Did we ever figure that out? And have we learned anything since Paul Maurice just got up and left that one morning?
This is just how I feel about it. Okay. This is me just reading tea leaves. No one has confirmed this to me, but I'm of the belief that Paul Maurice did that last season to save the Winnipeg Jets from making a very difficult decision. I am of the belief that that was a favor to the organization. Now, was Paul feeling maybe burned out? I mean, I think we're all burned out after COVID. But the one thing about the Winnipeg Jets organization is that they have always been very loyal to everybody around the organization, players, coaches, other people on staff as well. Like, that is their reputation. And I think Winnipeg kind of has to be there and have that posture because it can be challenging to attract people to work and play in Winnipeg. They need to demonstrate that there's a loyalty here. Like, you know, we've all talked about, you know, Vegas and the ruthless pursuit of the cup and all that. And, you know, where loyalty fits in. Loyalty is a big thing for the Winnipeg Jets and right from the top on down. And I'm really, Justin, of the belief that Paul Maurice did the Winnipeg Jets a favor by doing that, falling on his own sword, so they didn't have to go out to the market and say, we fired this coach. I think this was a very tidy, respectful bit of business done by someone in Paul Maurice who understands the business perhaps more than most and wanted to help the Winnipeg Jets preserve this idea that they are loyal to everybody in the organization.
Okay, so you're reading the tea leaves.
Again,
that Maurice read the tea leaves.
That's my belief.
Okay, because when you first saw that, I was like, okay, who's he trying to protect? I guess it's just reputation, and that Maurice knew he was kind of reaching the end of the line.
Yeah, that was reputation. This is what I believe. No one's confirmed this with me. This is just how I believe the situation went.
No John Heyman moments for you there. Very clear.
Got to make sure. Two
this
sources.
This is how you feel. This is how Jeff
this
Merrick feels.
No Kipper moments.
You're not going to get radioed. Okay.
No, you could tell
it was an emotional return as well. There was a nice tribute, and you could tell it meant a lot. So it was nice to see. All right, Jeff, we'll let you go. I appreciate you joining this morning, and we'll be keeping our eyes always on your Twitter feed for some good stuff.
Go back through all of it and find all of my mistakes.
Yeah, I'll start scrolling now.
I'm sure there's plenty. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Merrick, host of the Jeff Merrick Show, host of 32 Thoughts, the podcast. Never makes a mistake online. I just got to say, last night, I was mad at
Why were
the
you
internet.
Mad?
Because.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's uh-oh. I tried to find a Shane Wright goal prop on the internet, on any betting site that would allow me to give them my money, and nobody let them take my money. And what happens? I saw it. I had a vision. I closed my eyes and I thought, Shane Wright is coming back up from the AHL to play against the team that snubbed him at the draft, the most visual cutting eye that I've ever seen in the history of my life. And I went to an all-girls private school where there was a lot of snide looks and remarks. Mm. And I saw Shane Wright glare down the soul of the Montreal Canadiens when he was passed over and drafted fourth. Oh, look at the story. Shane Wright is going to play against the team that didn't select him. He's going to score his first NHL goal. So I go online and I look and I find nothing. And what happens? He scores in the first goal of the game for the Kraken.
Yeah, anytime or first. This is why sports betting companies should be paying you to put props together, to put boosts to do all that stuff, or better yet,
find his name.
Not just you, us. I want to
send in your wake and rake picks.
That's a just $5 play, but to the defense of the internet and anyone who could possibly take your money, you didn't mention it in the wake and rake.
Buddy,
NHL revenge spots are your bag.
There was too many yesterday. There's too many all the time.
That was the one, though.
And I had it written in the doc.
And when he scored
though,
that
remember?
Goal, you knew.
I had it written in the doc, and I forgot to say it out loud. And as soon as we left, I even texted you, damn, I forgot to say the Shane Wright thing. Boom,
that's
scores.
That's the NHL revenge spot of the year.
So upset about it.
And we missed it. But also, we didn't have a chance to bet it. So.
And you can request, but like some of the sites you can request. It's like,
late.
It's like an hour before. They're not taking my request. They're sleeping.
Yeah.
They got a beer in hand. Anyway, so you don't want to miss out on an opportunity to win money. So send in your $590, $590 wake and rake submissions for the anchor. Raptors at home against the Lakers with our guy Anthony Davis. We got to talk about him after the break because
may or may not be available.
He also lost me money yesterday.
Yeah,
but.
Nothing you can do about that.
You can't do anything about that. But please send in your Wake and Rake anchor submissions at $595.90. But it's time for something to chew on, brought to you by Great Canadian Meats. Yum, yum, yum. We were running through some stuff Blue Jays related at the end of the 6 o'clock hour. There was lots to go through. Yesterday, Hazel May and co. were talking with Blue Jays president Mark Shapiro out in San Diego for the winter meetings. A lot of comments about exciting Rogers Center renovations, which are happening, looking like things are going mighty fine, smooth sailing. Unlike Adelaide and Eglinton Avenue in Toronto, all of the workers have found their way to the Rogers Center. One thing might get finished on time. It will be the Rogers Center. But that's not important because Shapiro talked about having some financial flexibility through the organization, through the pockets, to maybe get some big names this offseason.
Yeah, the strength of our position lies in the core of the players we already have in place. We start the offseason better positioned than any team in all of Major League Baseball. And that allows Ross and our baseball operations group to be incredibly creative and open-minded about how they complement. And then we've got the financial resources to complement the existing group of players in the areas that we think will move us closer to a world championship.
I mean, I believe them. I do. But whenever those two speak, it's like I kind of have a hard time paying attention.
Justin!
What?
I don't know why. It's funny.
Because like we hear that it is so professional. It's so prepped, right? There's
what
not,
do you want them to be like, yo, what's up, Hazel? Are we going to put the bag down
Xander
Bogaerts?
It's just, you know how it is. You know how the Leafs are. The Leafs, like, they don't allow you to poke holes. They don't allow you. They don't show you
That's
much.
That's kind of like how it is in this business.
But it is in Toronto. It's not like that everywhere. There can probably be more honesty in other markets because anytime that there isn't any honesty,
we run with it and we make it headlines.
But they have the money. We know they have the money. They're not going to spend. They're not going to spend like the Texas Rangers, though. They're not going to spend like the San Francisco Giants.
A lot of money went out yesterday.
They're not going to spend like the New York Mets. Like that's just. But they shouldn't, because it's not endless. And if you spend like that, you're going to put yourself in a position where you're fighting it. Are the Texas Rangers a high-performing franchise right now? No. Are the San Francisco Giants? Maybe, I guess you could say that. Are the New York Mets? No. A lot of these teams that spend and spend and spend put themselves in really difficult spots, so I don't even want to see them spend recklessly. I want them to spend in the right ways, and I want them to make the right moves. I don't know, the like the spend versus protect your prospects thing, I don't know which side of that I stand on. You got to protect some of your prospects. You got to hold on to something, but you also can't just spend away, spend to try and solve all your problems, because it's going to put in a, you in a position where you're handcuffed. And I don't think they're going to put themselves in that spot. They're very responsible that way, or at least it seems. But again, with Shapiro and Atkins, it's just like not many surprises, not much to grab onto, at least for me.
Not much to chew on.
Did you take something from that?
No.
Exactly. So that what
so
are we?
Not much to chew on.
We're
there?
Chewing on the fact
you're left with a bit of an empty stomach.
There's not much to chew on. Yes.
You're still hungry?
I am. I could go for some great Canadian meats.
All right. Well, I hope you're hungry to talk to Phil Handy, Lakers assistant coach. Lakers are in town. It will be a sight. The celebrities will be out in full force tonight, courtside. I'm sure we'll see Toronto's very own Drake.
You think? Is it a Drake
tonight?
LeBron night is Drake night?
It's the Lakers. What do you think? They're in town tonight. We talked to our buddy Phil, who was a part of the Raptors championship season and now supports the other side of the court tonight. We got a chance to talk to him yesterday before he headed into Toronto.
And before the flu-like symptoms.
And before.
Landed at the feet of Anthony Davis.
The Anthony Davis.
But we'll talk about him regardless.
Yeah. That's next. Justin and Ailish from the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was getting dressed this morning, and I have this bin of sweaters under my bed, and it's dark, and I, this is no word of a lie, I reach for a sweater, and the first one I pulled out was this vintage Lakers crew neck that I have.
Should have went with it.
No, and I honestly put it on, and I thought, what the hell am I doing? I can't wear this today. It's sick, though. Like, it's purple and gold, and okay. It's, like, old. You know the brand Nutmeg? Like, that's old clothing brand. Like, it's this is from, like,
can't say I do.
80s, 90s.
Real vintage, not and this I, fake vintage.
No, real
you know
vintage.
I hate the fake vintage.
It's old. It, like, has, it's seen better days.
But okay, so we'll save that for a non.
Blindly reach under the bed, pull this crew neck up, put it on my body. It's four or something.
And forget the tarot card thing that we're going to do.
That's weird
just do,
sign,
just
right?
Just do, like, you reaching into your vintage collection.
I haven't
collection,
worn that once to Sportsnet.
Seeing what type of sports memorabilia comes out and what that might mean for the sports day
I've
ahead.
I've literally not worn it ever here because I'm worried that JD's going to be like, what's that sweater, you dummy?
I think you'll be fine.
Like, he'll chirp me if I ever wear it. But
I don't know.
There's something
deal.
Spooky about that, right?
I'm telling you, spirits are at play.
So just a mental note when you're visualizing your day, I grabbed this sweater from the darkness under the bed. What does that mean?
Is that how you get your wake and rake picks? It may be. A reminder to get your wake yes. and rake selections in. We're, of course, going to do that at 8:30 once again, like we do every day. We'll try to get the first W of December.
Okay.
Still looking for it. It was a tough night for your selection, but you didn't do anything wrong. Anthony Davis has been outstanding, but he exited after 6 minutes.
Didn't even attempt a shot.
He got 1 point, I guess it was from the line. The Lakers do lose to the Cavaliers 116-102 in his absence, but with AD on the floor of late, especially the last three games prior to Cleveland, averaging over 130 points with AD scoring 55 44 in 27. We caught up with Lakers assistant general manager Phil Handy yesterday, and we started our conversation talking about what's different with Anthony Davis.
Oh, man. You know, Anthony's always been an outlier to me. He's always been a special type of player. I think really he's just coming into his own purpose more than anything. He's in great shape. The team is looking for him. He's healthy. And I just think he's kind of coming into his own as a player. He looks very comfortable in his skin. And all of those things have lined up together, you know, between his teammates looking for him, between him being in great shape, he's taking care of his body, and just him being in a great place mentally as well. I think all the boxes are being checked, and he's just playing at a very high level, which, you know, we've all expected. You know, it's kind of like the bubble AD when we won the championship. This is the way he was playing. So good to see him get back to his level of potential.
It's interesting because coming to into his own, he's already won an NBA championship with Sochi, as you mentioned, there into the bubble. It's tough because there's all these misconceptions, at least it seems, a lot of chatter on the outside. But you guys know exactly what you had in Anthony Davis. Is it not that it's like a breath of fresh air or anything like that, but how much does it mean that you can kind of put the narrative aside with Anthony Davis, the way that he's playing with LA and the way things have sort of settled down?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the narrative is always the outside noise. We as a group, starting with our head coach on down, Darvin does a great job. We're just focused on ourselves every day. You know, we've had a rough start to the season, obviously going 0-5, but our mantra is every day we just put the work in. Every day we come in and work as a group, and every day we try to get better. So that noise and the narrative is we don't even hear it. We don't see it. We don't believe in it. You know, everybody in that locker room is pulling the rope in the same direction. And it's all about just us getting better every day that we touch the floor.
It's interesting to think somebody needs to, or somebody can help someone like LeBron James take that next step. But how has Anthony Davis been instrumental to getting LeBron James to, you know, that level that is expected and needed for the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, look, basketball is a team sport, right? I mean, LeBron is who he is, and he's been that for the last 20 years. And I don't care who you are. The greatest players in the world, they need a supporting cast, and they need other players around them to help elevate and help take the load and take the responsibility. And Bron and AD have been a great tandem since the very beginning. You know, barring health with AD and with Bron a couple years ago, who knows what this team could have done the last couple seasons. But Bron is a big advocate of AD stepping into his own as well as all of his other teammates. You know, he's really always been great with his teammates about just being themselves and playing at a high level. So, you know, I know he's one very happy to see AD step into this light, and because it just takes a lot of pressure off of him and the rest of the guys when AD is playing at this level.
Meanwhile, Russell Westbrook is thriving as a sixth man. I think he's the odds-on favorite to capture the award, although it is pretty early. Why has the role of sixth man suited Russell Westbrook so well?
Because he's bought into it. 100% simply, that's been Russ and Darvin Ham and the coaching staff. Russ has bought into the role and accepted it, and he's been great with it. I mean, his energy off the bench has been superb, you know, what he brings from a playmaking standpoint, and just Russ being Russ. You know, I think it's been a great fit for him in that role, and the main thing is he's accepted it and bought into it, and I think that's why you see him playing at such a high level.
You work with a team of superstars with personalities that are bold and certainly noticeable from the outside. With a first-year coach coming in and taking the reins, a testament to the job that he's been able to do alongside with you as well to turn the team around from a tough start to where you're going right now.
Well, you know, if you don't know Darvin Ham, Darvin Ham is a bold personality too. So he's just a great leader. You know, me and Darvin Ham started together, obviously in 2011 with the Lakers. But you know, our whole coaching staff, everybody on our staff is very, very professional, and we just coach. You know, we don't really look at the names on the back of the jerseys. We just coach the guys that we have in Laker uniform, and that's just been the mantra of let's coach these guys every day. You know, just coach them on what we see—the good, the bad, and the indifferent. And Darvin Ham is kind of really laid the foundation for that with his personality and his persona. and you can kind of see the team kind of rounding into shape, you know, following his lead.
Five games separate first and 13th in the Western Conference in the NBA. Have you ever really seen, or I know it's early, but have you ever seen or experienced parity like this where just a run, like the run that you guys are on, can really get you back into things? And I guess on the flip side, if you hit the skids a little bit, it could mean falling down the standings pretty dramatically.
Yeah, you know, the West has always been a tough conference, not to say the East isn't, but the West has always been stacked, you know, from top to bottom. For some years, and it's always been a hard fight. So what you see, you know, early in the year, you see a lot of teams having ups and downs. You know, it's early in the season. Teams are still trying to find their way. Even the Golden State Warriors, you know, after a championship run, come back and you hit a few bumps. So I think every team is in the same boat of just trying to settle in, you know, trying to work on themselves and figure out their chemistry, figure out things that they can do to get better every day. And you're right. It's just one of those things where you slip too far, one or two games, you know, you can find yourself going from second place to 10th place, or, you know, you win a few games and you can put yourself in the top five. So it's, you know, our motto, and like I said, for us, is just really, we've just been locked into how do we continue to play Laker basketball at a high level every night. And, you know, not really looking at the leaderboard. Let's just take this thing game by game and make sure we get better every night.
We're speaking with Phil Handy, Lakers assistant and NBA champion with your Toronto Raptors in 2019. So you're here in Toronto. You know well the growth someone like Pascal Siakam has taken over the couple seasons, especially in the summer with the Rico Hines runs. What have you liked, or what have you seen the most that's changed his game over the last 3 years?
And Pascal is another one of those guys. I remember when I first came to Toronto, you know, I looked at him as the – he was the piece, you know. Yeah, Kawhi and Kyle and all the other guys, but he was the piece to me. You know, he was the piece that needed to be elevated in order for that team to have an opportunity to win. Just, I mean, he's an uber talent. I mean, Pascal, there's not much he can't do on the floor on either side of the basketball. And I think what I've always liked about him is he's never been afraid of the work. You know, he's got a great work ethic. And he's a great student of the game, and just in terms of just wanting to get better. So no surprise in his growth. You know, he's had a steady climb every year. But he's just an uber-talented player, and he's just a hard guy to guard because he can do so many different things on the offensive end.
Ailish mentioned those Rico Hines runs, which Pascal was a part of. Could you just touch on Hines' value to the Raptors and sort of the new way that NBA players are readying themselves for the season? It seems like the Raptors have bought into doing things during the summers together, and it seems like that's, you know, NBA-wide, that's becoming more commonplace.
Yeah, you know, me and Rico go way back. You know, we're cut from the same cloth. Rico is a truth teller as a coach. We've always just been very old school and direct approach with players, and it's all about the work that they put in. And that's what Rico comes from. He comes from a place of you put the work in and you'll get the results. And, you know, he has that same mindset that I have, tapping into players and trying to build, you know, genuine relationships on and off the court. So he's just a great addition to the team and the way they want to play. And, you know, his relationship with Pascal obviously goes back years. And I just think he's great. Because he's just very genuine and he's very passionate about the game of basketball.
Is Scottie Barnes the coach's dream in that he's malleable? Like, he's not a finished product. You guys can really have an influence as coaches on what he might be or what he might become. And I wonder now that, you know, well, you've always been obviously on the other side since Scottie Barnes has entered the league, but what kind of respect Barnes, since coming in as a rookie last year, has garnered across the league?
Yeah, man, he's a kid that I've watched from afar, and just he really fits, you know, that whole Toronto mold of players. Like, he's a young Pascal to me. He's a guy that can do a plethora of different things at his size, and the ceiling is just very high for him. And it's really just all up to Scottie how much he wants to improve. You know, how much work is he willing to put in? And from what I've learned of him and heard from him in interviews and from different coaches, he has the definite pedigree of wanting to work, wanting to be great. So when you have a kid like that, you know, as coaches, yeah, it definitely makes you very excited to coach guys like that, because the potential that kid has is very, very high and very elite of where he could go. So I'm excited to watch him continue to grow as a player year by year and just kind of see what he turns into.
You mentioned the ceiling for Scotty Barnes, I think, is quite high as well. And this sophomore year, we haven't seen the same Scotty Barnes as the Rookie of the Year caliber that was last year. And I think that's understandable with what they say is the sophomore slump. I wonder your perspective on how hard it is in your second season to kind of regroup and come back at it and try to top what you did the year before. And if the mental pressures of it can sometimes be a little bit distracting for players at times.
Yeah, it's a tough thing because what happens is, you know, as a young guy, a lot of teams around the league really didn't know what his skill set was, you know, probably, and they didn't know what kind of player he was going to be. So you have a whole year to scout and learn a talent. Now teams, they come back, you know, and Scotty Barnes is one of the focal points of a scouting report. So, you know, you do your homework of, well, how do we guard this kid? How do we take away some of his strengths? And so what you see is, you know, teams are keying in on him more. You know, he's getting a lot more attention from defenses. So that, again, that's part of the evolution of Scotty as a player. You know, how much of a jump does he take year by year, because the defenses and scouting reports are going to focus in on him as a player. So he has to continue to grow and improve as a player. So it's normal. Sometimes you see guys, you know, go through a little bit of a slump in the second season. And then, you know, it's really, I say it again, it's really up to Scotty how much he gets better and how far he goes, because, you know, teams are going to key in on him as a player because he's one of the best players on that team. So that's part of what you see. And, you know, teams probably do a little bit more homework and research and try to take away, you know, his areas of strength and try to push him to some of his weaknesses. And sometimes you'll see a little bit of a dip. But I think a player like him, it just, you know, takes a little bit of time for him to figure out and adjust, make the adjustments, and then come back as a better player.
Fred Van Vliet, who, of course, you had experience with in 2019, said something interesting as the Raptors were sort of sputtering over the weekend, that the leadership is sort of unspoken and the guidelines and the rules and regulations of being a Raptor sort of unspoken at times. And it kind of made our ears perk up a little bit. When he says it's unspoken, the leadership, what does that mean? Is that about the culture that's just been installed and you kind of understand how it goes? Or that's just the leadership style of a Fred or a Pascal, where it's kind of more about the Raptors rather than the rah-rah? When he says it's unspoken, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, you know, Fred is a natural leader. That's one thing I really loved about Fred when I got to Toronto. Even as a young player with guys like Kyle and Kawhi and Marc Gasol, we had a lot of veterans on the team. But Fred, man, he was a great leader, and he comes from that stock. But you also will see the culture in Toronto. Once you step into that culture as a player, you kind of understand what's expected of you every day, from that, you know, from Coach Nurse on down. The way they do things in practice, the way they do things in workouts and in the summertime and building up to the season, that foundation is already laid. So the leadership is there by example. You know, Fred's one of those guys that works. He puts in the work. He shows up every day. And so, yes, in an environment like that, sometimes it can be unspoken because everybody understands what's expected once you step through those doors, and it becomes leadership by committee.
You, of course, know Nick Nurse very well as well. And he's known around the league, or at least he's known in this market, for the unconventional. And I wonder, because coaches borrow ideas, right? You guys, you know, work with different units and you go to different teams and you bounce around. The idea of, you know, borrowing ideas, borrowing different strategies. I wonder, with that in mind, how Nick Nurse has influenced the NBA since he's come into the league.
You know, I just think Nick has always been a free thinker. You know, he's always been very cutting edge, and just the game of basketball. Nick has always been really about, what does it take to win? I don't care if it's conventional or unconventional. What is it going to take for us to win? And that's what he's willing to do. So it doesn't have to be, you know, what's the norm. You know, Nick has always just had the mindset of, and going back to even when I played for him 20 plus years ago, he was always about, what is it going to take for us to win? Whatever that is, okay, play zone, let's play zone. Boxing one, okay, let's do that. Whatever it takes, you know, he's not afraid to put it out there with his team.
All right, so Phil, it's a short trip here to Toronto. I know you probably have some things maybe on the to-do list and people to see. What are you most looking forward to when you get into the city and you get to spend a little bit of time here?
Man, Toronto is just, you know, it became home for me in a short amount of time. Great fan base, great people in the city. You know, just the city overall has that great energy. And so it's always good to step foot back in that arena and be around the fans. No, I'm not going to really do too much, try to keep myself locked in for the game, but just being back in the arena and being around, you know, the whole Raptor Nation, and I'm always excited for that and to be able to catch up with some old friends. I'm just always happy to be back and play in this arena because the atmosphere is just really, it's really high and really charged, and, you know, it makes for a great, great atmosphere for basketball.
Well, it's always an event when the Lakers roll into town. We're looking forward to it. Best of luck tonight. Maybe not too much luck. And it was great to chat with you today.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Phil Handy, LA Lakers assistant coach, coming into town tonight with LeBron and co. Maybe Anthony Davis feeling a little better today after his flu-like symptoms that kept him out of hitting our wake and rake pick for me.
Yeah, the Raptors could dodge a bullet, though, if he doesn't play, because that seems like it would be a difficult challenge for the Christian Colocos of the world.
Yes.
The other bigs that the Raptors have been relying on. Davis, as mentioned, has been very, very good, but limited yesterday in a loss to Cleveland. On that Phil Handy vein, let's say you had an extended absence from the city of Toronto, your home, Ailish Forfar. What would you have to do if you had like 12 hours in Toronto after a long absence?
Wow.
Sprung that on you.
Is it winter?
Sure, today.
I go for
it's December 7th.
I was going to say, I go for a little skate. I skated on Lake Ontario last winter, and it was awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't done that.
Really enjoyed that. Cool view of the city. Played a little puck.
Is there like
there.
A rink out there?
There is one, secret one. You can go to the island. You take the ferry to the island, and then you walk across the island, and then you find this hidden cove where you can play some pond hockey. And the city is in your background, and it is just stunning. And the ice is thick enough at that area because it's not too deep.
Mm. And will that be ruined by this time this year? Like, is, you know, like with any, like, what are those speakeasies?
Yes.
Where they become something that
it's
everyone
like
knows about?
I was like, here's a speakeasy.
Yeah, Blog TO will be
secret.
Out there.
And then there's 40,000 people in line for
everyone
the speakeasy.
Everyone will be Instagramming on their
I
skates.
I might have just blown
Tower
up
in the background.
The hidden pond hockey
your
location.
Secret. Not safe if you say
it
on live radio.
It is kind of, it's not like right where the ferry drops you off. You have to trek a bit, but it's really awesome. So I would, you know, if I had 12 hours, I'd get a
That's your move. Pond hockey with the CN Tower in the background.
I don't know why I picked that. It was just the first thing that came to my mind. It'd be fun.
That's
but
what
like,
I was asking
I should
for.
Probably see my family and friends, but they can come to the game. They can come cheer me on.
Really what I was asking.
I don't know, Justin, what would you do?
I don't know.
Well, you should have an answer before you ask me such a
no,
life-changing
but
question.
You're connected to this city in a way that I'm not, and that's why I asked.
Is that right?
You are.
I'd probably,
you do things.
I'd probably walk around
things.
The Eaton Center.
The Eaton Center would be your number one, eh?
Can you not sense sarcasm in my voice?
I didn't know. Usually I can, but not
I'd
that
like
time.
I'd like to steer very clear of the mall in this time of the year.
I kind of like the mall Christmas time. That's the only time I actually like the mall. People are happier.
You're definitely a
little cheer.
You are
I have purpose that day.
A December 23rd, 24th Christmas shopper. There's not don't even try to lie to me.
Mm.
You're a last minute gift card in the stocking guy.
What kind of assessment is that?
I don't know. You just have this air about you that you've forgotten to get a gift for someone.
I will say my family, we're not big. We're not like 30 presents under the tree for everyone. We take it easy. We spend time together.
But
we
there's no way you've done your Christmas shopping by now.
I've done, actually, I did an order in about 2 minutes yesterday. I was like, wow, that was easy. I finally made an inroad.
Is it for me?
No.
Are we going to do Christmas gifts for each other?
I'm sure we will. I don't think you'd allow us to not, just knowing your personality.
We should put this out there now so you can start looking because we have some time off.
Okay, we'll do gifts.
Okay.
What's the budget? Don't go crazy. You're a crazy Christmas person.
No,
You want gifts.
No.
Gifts.
No, let's set the budget
$30. Want to do best of worst of Christmas right now? Pressure to get people things.
$30, Justin. $30.
Done. Really?
Shake on it. Extend your hand. We're shaking on it. $30 gifts for each other.
Done.
That's really nice.
That'll be the one I stress about the most.
I'm getting you a Light the Beacon shirt. Last year, though, with the other clowns, we had Christmas, but we were all over the place because of the pandemic. We weren't doing the show in person. And Vic, love the guy, got us Bing Bong shirts.
Oh, that's nice.
And I didn't get it for so long because we weren't here in person.
Bing Bong!
Bing Bong!
That is nice.
And I got, I forget what I got JD and Blake, but it was good.
Okay, so we'll get Josh and Danielle in this too.
We got to shake their hands in the break. Blake a book about his cat. It was like something on how to know if your cat is like...
Oh, so 25 LCBO is not going to work, or 30 LC.
It was thoughtful. I got JD something funny.
I'm going to actually have to think about this.
What did I get JD? Someone will remember. One of the OG listeners will know.
You could just ask him in an hour and 7 minutes.
There's no way he remembers. He probably threw it out.
Oh, give me a break.
No, I got him a Bing Bong shirt. That's what happened.
So everyone just got each other Bing Bong stuff?
I got JD a Bing Bong shirt. And it was really nice. And then he said, it's too big. I need tighter for my muscles. Anyway, I'm glad that we're going to do a Christmas. Maybe we can text in ideas for Justin, like a thesaurus.
Well, I'm going to need ideas.
A dictionary.
A history textbook.
History textbook. Big game tonight. Your Raptors playing the Lakers. What would you do if you're in town for 12 hours? Phil Handy said he's going to focus on tonight's game. Could be part of your Wake and Rake submissions. We need a big game from your Raptors. That's all I got to say. Okay.
All right.
We'll tee that up in the Wake and Rake, but we've got Jeff Blair on the other side of the break. We got to go a little baseball, a little football, or a soccer, some of you say. Can anybody kick penalty kicks? Has the art of penalty kicks been lost?
Not from the teams that I want to advance.
That's right.
That's for sure. Japan and Spain, not good at
it. It's real rough. All right, Jeff Blair, co-host of Blair and Barker, and co-host of A Kick in the Grass, Sportsnet.ca columnist, joining us after the break. It's Fan Morning Show, Justin and Ailish, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.